Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament story found in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and in front of the 1,000 he drank wine. When he had tasted the wine, Belshazzar said to bring the gold and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines could drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that they had taken from the temple, that is, the house of God in Jerusalem. So the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. At that moment, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the back of the hand that was writing. Then the king's cheerful appearance changed. His face grew pale, and his thoughts troubled him. His legs went limp, and his knees knocked together. The king called out loudly to bring the spellcasters, the astrologers, and the diviners. The king said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever is able to read this writing and explain its meaning will be clothed in purple, with a gold chain around his neck, and he will rule as third highest in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they were not able to read the writing or tell the king what it meant. Then King Belshazzar was really terrified. He grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen came to the drinking party because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen said, "Your Majesty, may you live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, and do not look so frightened. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, enlightenment, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. So King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, spellcasters, astrologers, and diviners, because an outstanding spirit and knowledge and insight in interpreting dreams and explaining riddles and solving knotty problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be summoned, and he will explain the meaning of the writing." Then Daniel was brought before the king. The king said to Daniel, "Are you Daniel, one of the Judean exiles whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and enlightenment and insight and outstanding wisdom are found in you. Now those wise men who are the spellcasters were brought before me to read this writing and to make its meaning known to me, but they were not able to explain the meaning of the message. Yet I have heard about you, that you are able to explain meanings clearly and solve knotty problems. Therefore, if you are able to read the writing and make its meaning known to me, you will be clothed in purple, with a gold chain around your neck, and you will rule as the third in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself, or give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king, and I will make its meaning known to him. As for you, your majesty, the Most High God gave the kingdom, greatness, splendor, and glory to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. So because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and were afraid in his presence. He killed whomever he wanted, and he let live whomever he wanted. Also, he promoted anyone he wanted, and he demoted anyone he wanted. But when he thought too much of himself, and his spirit became hardened in pride, so that he acted arrogantly, he was deposed from the throne of his kingdom and his splendor was taken away from him. He was driven away from humans, and his mind was changed to that of an animal. So his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass as bulls are fed, and his body was wet with dew from the sky, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of men, and he raises up over them anyone he desires. But you, his son, Belshazzar, did not humble your heart, although you knew all this. Instead, you lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. The vessels from his house were brought before you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. Then you praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. You who do not see, and do not hear, and do not know. But you did not honor the God who holds your breath in his hand, and who controls all his ways. So the back of the hand was sent by him, and this writing was inscribed. Now this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the meaning of the message. Mene means that God has counted up your kingdom and paid it out or spent it. Tekel means that you have been weighed in the scales and you are too light. Parson means that your kingdom has been broken in two and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar spoke, and they dressed Daniel in purple with a gold chain around his neck, and they made him the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, King Belshazzar the Chaldean was killed. Then Darius the Mede received the kingdom when he was about 62 years old. This is our text, Daniel chapter 5. Dear people of God, Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was really into the god Bel. If you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had given Daniel the nickname Belteshazzar, and he named his own son Belshazzar. He loved Bel. Bel was the god of the Babylonians. He's also known as Marduk. And he's kind of the patron saint of the Babylonians too, because they had lots of gods, but this was the favorite, kind of like Zeus in Greece. I said last week that I hope Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. And this is why it's just a hope. I hope that he turned from his love for Bel and turned it into love for the Lord. But we'll find out when we get there. Belshazzar was not nearly as great a king as his father Nebuchadnezzar, as Daniel clearly says. And how could he be? Nebuchadnezzar was a genius. He conquered the world and he built amazing things. Belshazzar just lived off of the fame and accomplishments of his father. And in the course of doing that, one day he got out the glasses and the bowls from Solomon's conquered and crushed temple of Jerusalem. And he started drinking in them at his party. Now, on the one hand, how's he supposed to know that this would offend the Lord so greatly? But on the other hand, that's our job, to know the will of the Lord. No one is innocent in this world. So the hand of the Lord shows up and writes on the wall, and it properly terrified everyone. Belshazzar, like his father had done, gathered together all of his astrologers and wizards to try to figure out what this thing was. But they couldn't even read it. But his queen, for some reason, remembered Daniel, whom Nebuchadnezzar had treasured so highly. Daniel was, as Belshazzar says, one of the exiles from Judah. He was taken in the first wave of exiles. The Babylonians had taken three groups of people out of the promised land because they kept rebelling against them. But in the first group that were taken out of the promised land were the best and the brightest, and that's where Daniel was. He was an absolute genius. Daniel was a young man when he was taken, and he survived the whole Babylonian captivity, 70 years of it. So he must have been like 20 when he was taken and lived to be over 90, which also means Daniel never went back to the promised land. He was too old. But he saw the freedom of the Jews at the end of it. This is Daniel, who was here summoned to tell the king what the writing of the wall said and what it meant. And Daniel doesn't talk nice to Belshazzar as he did to his father Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him right out that you are not nearly the king that Nebuchadnezzar was, and you're not humble at all. Belshazzar, you're not your father. He was great, and yet the Lord had to humble him. And here you are. You have everything given to you from your father, which really must means that it was given to you from the Lord. You should be the most humble and the most thankful person in the whole world, but you're not at all. Therefore, this is what the Lord says to you. Many, many tekel and parson. Now, no one understood what this phrase meant because, well, it was new. These words tekel and parson, they're not words. This is the only place in Scripture or anywhere else in the world that they are found. This is not a thing. These words only mean what they mean because Daniel says this is what they mean. Mene means number. Now that word existed. It's the word used when Israel was numbered in the wilderness. As the Lord has numbered all of our days and knows their end, and is not telling us, so also the Lord had numbered Belshazzar's days, and his days were at an end, but the Lord was telling him. Tekel means weighed, Daniel says. This is his character, his soul. As all of us have to face the judge one day, so Belshazzar had been judged by the Lord, and his soul was found wanting. It lacked something. And what is it that it lacked? What's the thing that's required? Faith. Faith in the Lord's Christ. When it came to faith, Belshazzar was light. Parson means divided. This one's really neat. It doesn't so much apply to Belshazzar because as his days were over, there's nothing he could do about this. But his kingdom was being taken from him and being given to the Medes and the Persians. Now this word parson is a very bizarre form of the word Persian. You can even hear it in English. But how could Belshazzar understand at all that this meant his kingdom was being given to the Persians? There's no way. Many, many tekel and parson, numbered, weighed, and divided. And it happened, not 200 years in the future, but it happened that night. It's almost comical. Belshazzar was so relieved at finally having someone explain what this meant, or more likely, he was so drunk, that he kept his word from verse 7. Whoever is able to read this writing and explain its meaning will be clothed in purple with a gold chain around his neck, and he will rule as third highest in the kingdom. And he did it. In this kingdom, it went King, Queen, Daniel. For a couple hours. How do you see Daniel's face? I see it two ways. Either Daniel's going nuts and trying to stop them from putting all this junk on him and telling them the Medes and the Persians are coming, you all should run away. Or Daniel stands there straight-faced, shaking his head just a little at these idiots. Like we do when we watch the news of the world. That night, Babylon was conquered. The great city of Babylon was built right on the Tigris River. The river came into the city under the wall and then left the city also under the wall. What the Medes and Persian army had done is they had built canals way up in the north so that they were able to divert the river and lower the water level. Then they put their army on either side of the city, and when the water went down, the soldiers ran in, and Babylon was conquered that night. Thus began the rule of Darius over the Babylonians, and thus over the Jews. Daniel, because of his obvious gifts and very faithful service, became not number three in the kingdom of the Medes, but number two, until people arranged it that he was thrown into the lion's den. But that's a different story. Now, last week we noted from the book of Daniel that the Lord Jesus is the judge of all. And today we see the same thing, except we also notice how the Lord takes care of people, both his people and those who are not. See, jealousy is a big problem for us. The Psalms talk about this all the time, like Psalm 73. I even envied the arrogant when I observed the peace of the wicked. If our God is so great, why are our lives so hard? Why do the godless and the worst of people seem to skate through life? Why do they get rich? Why do they have it so easy? Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, this is the way the Lord wants it. The Lord wants us crying out to him every day. The Lord wants us dependent on him to pay every bill, to get every breath, to feel every joy. He wants to be the reason for our existence. See, if we had a lot of money, if our life was easy, we would fall away from the Lord. Just look at how many already have. Or look at Jesus' story of the rich man who could not enter into the kingdom of God even with all of his money and influence. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The way to heaven is the way of the cross. Paul wrote, "So then, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." God wants us to see clearly that we are going to heaven not because of our works, not because of our money, not because of our bloodline, not because of our lucky lives, but only through faith in Jesus Christ alone, who carried his cross. And we carry our crosses behind him. God wants our lives difficult so that our faith is in him, not in ourselves. Secondly, the reason why the godless have life so good is that they don't. They have to stand in front of the judge one day too, and they are terrified. They go searching the world for peace. They look to celebrities of all people for their example. They must have something figured out, right, if they're rich and famous? They look to the Buddha. They look to their own riches. And most of them end up turning to drugs. Whatever they can find in this world that will give them peace, or even just a little break from the trouble and hardship of life, they do not embrace the cross of Christ. But they run as fast as they can away from it to anything that promises a crutch. The latest things are these expensive and fancy mattresses. They'll look to anything to literally sleep better at night. You go to sleep in your Savior's arms. You go to sleep in Him who has promised you the full and free forgiveness of your sins. Him who has promised to take you to His paradise to be with all those who have gone before you in faith in Jesus alone. You sleep after you have prayed with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And this I ask for Jesus' sake. They don't. They have to pass out at night or fool themselves into thinking that there is nothing beyond the grave. Fool themselves into thinking that they'll be fine without Jesus. Well, good luck with that. Or as the psalmist concluded, those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who commit adultery against you. As for me, God's nearness is good for me. I have made the Lord God my refuge so that I can tell about all your works. When the time comes for the tekel, will the Lord find faith in Jesus in your soul? Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.